Let's come on back together. Let me take a poll real quick. How many of you have ever heard a sermon on earthquakes? I want to see a hand. On earthquakes? Okay. Yeah, that's part of it. All right. All right. This sermon is on earthquakes. So I told my wife. My wife asked me, "What are you preaching on this week?" I said, "Earthquakes." She says, "I knew that." I said, "No, come on, honey." She says, "Yeah, I knew that." I said, "Well, why didn't you tell me what I was going to preach on then?" But I've been in this world events, current events type mode for the last, it'll be the third week. Last week, you know, we talked about him who removes kings and sets up kings, and we talked about Libya and all what's going on in the Middle East. And then the week before that, the sermon title was The World We Live In, and we started talking about Romans chapter 1 and same-sex marriage and so forth. And by the way, you probably have heard by now that in Maryland, they defeated that same-sex bill. It was defeated. It passed the Senate, but it was defeated in the House, and they said they will not bring it up again this year. So that was positive news, I thought. Okay. So I'm still in this current event, world event type mode, and very impacted by what is going on in the world, as I'm sure you are, and with all that's going on over in the Middle East, and now in Japan. Not to forget that Christ Church New Zealand, they had an earthquake in February. Number of people killed there, which actually the New Zealand earthquake, Christchurch, New Zealand, that was an aftershock. A 6.3 magnitude aftershock. The original earthquake that they had in Christchurch, New Zealand, was 7.1, and that happened in September of 2010. So this, the one that they just had in February, was an aftershock. Earthquakes, by the way, are very numerous. We all know this. I'm sure I could probably get the walking encyclopedia. I could get Bill stand up here, and he could just ramble off. But if I went to the U.S. Geological Survey's website today, and there already have been, the last time I checked, because of all the activity going on over Japan, there have already been 40 earthquakes the last time I checked today in the world. So earthquakes are very prevalent. They go on all the time. We just had one in Arkansas a few, was it in March or maybe in February? You will remember 3 years ago we had an earthquake right here. You remember that? And I told you the story. I was thinking about it. I was telling one of my employees the other day. It was interesting because at that time I had Melissa working for me, and Melissa and I are on the internet while we're working. We're watching the Chilean. Remember the Chilean earthquake and they had fires going and all? And so we're watching that, and Melissa looks at me and she says, "You know what? I'm so glad we live where we live. We never have earthquakes." When she said earthquakes, the place went like that. And now we're used to people hitting our building when they come to park. They hit the building and it rumbles. I mean, it shakes. And so she gets up and she runs outside and she looks around. She says, "No one." She says, "Everyone's standing outside." I said, "Well, that's not because somebody hit our building." Well, Dolores, who works for the county, got the word from the county that we had had an earthquake on 1 point on the magnitude. And so we had, it was in Annandale. Our office is 10, 15 minutes from Annandale. And so we had felt it. But it happened at the very time Melissa said, "I'm glad we don't have earthquakes." Bam, it hit. Okay? So very interesting. So there's the Christchurch New England earthquake. Some of us forget on February 2nd, China had an earthquake that killed 24 people, wrecked, demolished thousands of homes. Because there's so much going on in the world, a lot of times we don't hear about it. And then, of course, the earthquake in Japan was so devastating. Actually, we know that it happened 80 miles out in the ocean, but the results of it created this tsunami, and then we have all this this effect that we have going on. And I just want to urge us to continue to pray. I mean, we pray in the morning, we pray at midday, we pray at night before we go. Pray for these people. I couldn't imagine being in a situation like this. This is just unbelievable. You just can't imagine it. And so one man, as I'm sure you've seen some of the video footage, one man said that the ground was shaking so hard that if you did not lean up against something, you couldn't stand. In other words, you could not stand even like this. You couldn't stand. You would fall. That's how extreme this earthquake was. 8.9, the one in 2004, remember December 26, 2004, that was 9.1, and that was out in the Pacific Ocean, I believe, and it created a tsunami that killed 200,000 people. The greatest magnitude earthquake that they have on record supposedly is 9.5. And thank God that when most of these earthquakes happen, they don't happen in big population centers, because if they did, well, I mean, the devastation would be catastrophic. All right, so we're going to look at what the Bible has to say, and I'll be very interested. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. And thank you, Lord, that you watch over all the circumstances of the earth. And Lord, that you intervene into circumstances as your people pray. And as people call upon heaven for help, Lord, you are willing, O God, and able to intervene in the affairs of men, O God, to bring about a grace and mercy to help in time of need. And so we give you thanks for that, Lord. We pray that we would see what you would have us to see out of your word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. One astounding thing, and I thought this is going to be an interesting message because I've never did a message on earthquakes. But I read one commentary where one man said there's only three earthquakes in the Bible. All the other ones were figurative. And I thought to myself, wow, went back. I was like, wow, for real? I don't agree with you. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the instances of earthquakes mentioned in the Bible. Indeed, some of them are figurative, probably, that's to be debated as well. But we're not here to debate. We're here to look at the Word, amen, and to grow in faith and in trust in God. Okay. Now, the first, and let me say this, we know they didn't, back in the Old Testament days or even New Testament, that earthquakes were caused by the movement of tectonic plates and underwater volcanoes and all of these things that happened. They didn't know that. We know it. But that's not to say that earthquakes do not have, at times, divine sources. Okay? And some people, you know, whenever catastrophes happen, people say, where was God? Where is God when all these? Well, he's the same place he's always been. He ain't moved. He does not change. He's the same. He's constant. And his grace and mercy is there for all who would receive it. But as we'll see in the scripture, there are some earthquakes that are divinely inspired or caused. Okay. First one, let's look at Exodus chapter 19, which shows God's power. When God told Pharaoh to let his people go, for them to go 3 days into the wilderness to meet on Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, God wanted to meet with him. And Moses, when he gets the people there, God actually comes down. It says, now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. The Lord descended upon the mountain in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. Okay? So this whole mountain began to shake. And the people, as rightfully so, were terrified. Okay? Even Moses said he was quaking inside. He said I was all befuddled and everything. I didn't know what to do. You know, I'm just on the inside, he's quaking. Now, this was something that God did to display his power. He showed the people his power to instill his fear in them. Because why? Because he's about to give them the Ten Commandments. These people have lived 400 years without any law. They've been in Egypt as slaves. They've had no law. They've been affected by false gods. God brings them out, and they meet with him on this mountain. They're going to hear his voice speaking from the midst of the fire, but they're also going to see this mountain literally shaking. And this was God displaying his power so that the people would respect the power of God. Come on, you young people, you've seen this, because you've seen this was God causing a quake so that the people would fear him. You've seen your parents quake. You've seen your parents tell you to do something, you didn't do it, and they went, you know, and there was an eruption and an explosion and all of these type things. You've been a part of that. And so that's what was happening on this mountain. God was displaying his power, okay? Now, Hebrews alludes to it, and Hebrews 12 says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth," and that was God speaking on earth, because he descended on earth and he spoke and gave the 10 commandments, "how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." Wouldn't that be interesting to see not only the earth shake, but heaven shake? Wow. And so, he says this, "Now this, yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain." And the thing that we learn about this life is that everything in this life can be shaken. Everything. That's one of the things where we, if you've ever been in an earthquake, you know that what man calls a foundation is not a foundation. It's a foundation, but it's a foundation that can be moved. And the thing about foundations is they're not supposed to be moved. You're not supposed to be able to move them. But as you saw the footage in Japan, there were whole, I'm not talking just houses, I'm talking whole commercial structures that were just wiped off a foundation. Just literally just moved. It looked like a kid's bathtub with toy boats and cars in it. That's what it looked like. And they just, and you're looking at this and you're looking at this and going, I'm looking at it over and over and over again, and I'm thinking about the awesome power of God. Listen, beloved, we don't know him. Let me say this. I don't know him like that. I mean, he is way more powerful than we could ever imagine. Way more powerful. And so these big commercial boats, not these little, you know, dinghies, but we're talking big commercial boats just waving around. I mean, just unbelievable. Now, some people want to know if God caused this latest earthquake. People always want to know. What did those people do? Remember, what is it, Luke chapter 13 or John chapter 13, when in Galilee the tower fell on the people, and they asked Jesus, said, "Why did this tower fall on these people? Were they worse sinners than anyone else?" Jesus said, "No, but unless you perish, you repent, you shall likewise perish," is what he told them. And so whenever catastrophes happen, people say, "Well, those people must be sinners. They must have been done something wrong. God was out to get them." And no, that's not necessarily the case. But we will see that God has used earthquakes before to bring judgment. Some scholars believe that Sodom and Gomorrah, that part of the judgment was an earthquake. I don't have time to look at that today, but we do have time to look at Numbers 16 and 1. You know the story where these people want to be priests. Sons of Korah, priesthood has been delegated to Aaron and his sons. Only Aaron and his sons can be priests. Well, Korah and Dathan decide, well, no, we can be priests, and we can take a censer, and we can offer up a sacrifice to God. We can, and we just got done singing about the sacrifice. See, that sacrifice wasn't accepted. God didn't receive it. Why? Because it wasn't sweet. It wasn't pleasant to him. It wasn't what he ordained, and so he rejected them. Well, in this passage of Scripture, Moses says, if these people who have come against God and come against me, if they die a natural death, then I'm not a prophet. God hasn't spoken through me. But if the ground splits open and swallows them up, he says, know of a surety that God has done this thing. As soon as Moses gets done speaking, it says, now it came to pass, as he finished speaking all these words, that the ground split apart under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the men of Korah, with all their goods. So they and all those with them went down alive, into the pit. Talk about hellfire. They went down alive. Their household, all their stuff, I'm talking tents, donkeys, come on, sheep, everything that was theirs, the earth opened up and swallowed them. And even now in Japan, there are some people they're trying to rescue because their whole homes have dropped below the level of the ground. They're down, okay? And these homes have gone partially down into the ground because the earth opened up. And so the earth closed over them, and they perished from among the assembly. Then all Israel who were around them fled at their cry, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Okay, so we see here, you know, God's judgment. I tell you what, if I was around somewhere close to somebody and the earth's opening up and swallowing them, feet don't fail me now. It's time to get out of Dodge. I am gone, right? You don't have to tell me twice. And so we see the judgment of God brought about on these people through this earthquake. So the ground shook, opened up, broke apart. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't just a nice clean thing where the earth just opened up and said, come on in. No, it shook open and swallowed up these who were against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed. Okay? Now let's look at another in the same instance, not in the same instance, but in another account, when Saul and Jonathan were fighting the Philistines. Remember Jonathan and his armor bearer? Jonathan says to his armor bearer, I'm going to go over to the garrison of the Philistines. The garrison was a place that when you took over someone's territory, you put a army outpost there to keep order, keep people in line. That's what a garrison was. Excuse me. And so this garrison is there, and Jonathan says, I'm going to go over to this garrison because maybe the Lord will fight for us. And the armor bearer said, I'm coming with you. And so they crawl up to this garrison, and man, they kill 20 men. Two, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they kill 20 Philistines. And Jonathan knew the Lord is fighting for us. And so it says that first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within about a half acre of land. Half an acre of land. And then verse 15 says, and there was trembling in the camp. Okay, so trembling in men's hearts in the camp of the Philistines and among all the people in the field and among all the people. So wherever these people were, there was trembling going on. The garrison and the raiders also trembled. So the Philistines are trembling. Saul and his men, they're trembling because they're scared. But then it says this, and the earth quaked. The earth began to shake. So that there was a very great trembling. Now, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, earthquakes were seen as being divine. Again, they didn't know what caused them. And so when they happened around certain events, definitely in Moses' case, he said if the earth opens up, I mean, can humans cause an earthquake? No. Okay, and so when Moses said, if the earth opens up and swallows them, this is God, and then the earth opens up and swallows them, how many of you know the people said, oh, that is God? And so when Jonathan and his armor bearer killed these men, and then the earth began to shake, God was fighting on the behalf of Israel, fighting against the enemies, bringing this earthquake to bring fear and judgment upon the enemies of Israel. Okay, so here we see, all of these are divinely caused earthquakes, right? Divinely caused. Now, we all know this passage of Scripture. Elijah's running from Jezebel. He's scared to death. He goes into a cave, and God tells him, go stand out of the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by in a great and strong wind, tore into the mountains, and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. We see that that wind was destructive in terms of the rock. And that after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And what I like about this passage of Scripture is it shows us that there are things that happen in the earth. Now, the Lord caused the earthquake, right? But he didn't bring damage to anyone. He did it to show Elijah something, but he didn't do it to bring destruction on anyone. So the Lord came, the Lord's presence, when he came by, when the Lord passed by, the Lord's presence caused the wind, caused an earthquake, caused the fire. And so here we see it, God causing it, but it not bringing any destruction or any harm. So when people say that God, is God angry? Is he destructive? Does he cause loss of life? Well, the Bible says Jesus came into the world to save, right? To save sinners. And so he didn't come to destroy, but he came to save. All right. Another use we'll see of earthquakes in the Old Testament, Amos 1:1, we see them used as a marker of time. That's what the that's how they use it in this passage of scripture. The words of Amos, who was among the sheep breeders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Okay, 2 years before the earthquake. So there was an earthquake that was so powerful that they used it to mark time, to mark history. The 2004 tsunami, earthquake and tsunami, is that type of marker. It was so earth-changing, so earth-shattering. By the way, you may have seen the images on CNN or some other website of Japan before the earthquake, and then you see it after the earthquake. Japan lost 8 feet of its country, of the coastline. It just shifted. The whole nation shifted. Okay? And so, this would be the type of earthquake that you would not forget, and the Lord or Amos used it to set the time in which he was prophesying. Zechariah 14:5, the Lord uses it, talking about the day of the Lord that will come. He says that you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, the king of Judah. The Lord even used it as he talked to people for them to get a reference of time based upon what he was saying, based upon that earthquake. All right. New Testament. Matthew. Now we get to Jesus and the earthquake that happened in his lifetime. And this was definitely God-inspired. It was a divine sign that God used. Matthew 27:54. So when the centurion and those with him, who were guarding Jesus, saw the earthquake. Okay, now, just picture this. They see Jesus up on the cross. They have heard people revile him. They heard the two thieves and the one thief repent and say, Lord, remember me when you enter paradise, or remember me this day. They've seen all of this happen, that they've heard the accusations against Jesus. False witnesses come forward. None of these things panned out. And it says that the centurion and those who were with him, when they saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. God used an earthquake as a sign to a Gentile centurion who did not believe to say, this is my Son. God used an earthquake to do that. Can he do that? You better believe he can do it. You better believe he can do it. Earthquakes are not caused by God, but they can be caused. Not every earthquake, but they can be caused by God. And this is an instance where we see God causing an earthquake as a divine sign to the divinity of his Son, to the claims of Jesus Christ. Now, not only at his death was there an earthquake, but there was an earthquake at his resurrection. Interesting, especially since man can't make an earthquake. Okay, how many people have had an earthquake at their death? Plenty of people. How many people had an earthquake at their resurrection? Only one. Only one, okay? And so this would make this very, very unique, okay? So we see here that when Jesus died upon the cross, that there was an earthquake. Not only that, but because this is verse 54, but a little bit before that it says this, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were opened. Now, what was another reason? Not only was that God caused that earthquake to come about so that the centurion would know that it was his son who died up on that cross, but also that earthquake came about to shake the graves open. To shake the graves open. Now, notice it says here, and many bodies of the saints who were fallen asleep were raised. So if we look at this, if we look at this and think about the time, Jesus dies, an earthquake happens, a great earthquake. The graves are shaken open. They are open for 2 days because on the third day, it says in verse 53, coming out of the graves after his resurrection. So these graves are laying open, rocks have fallen over, you know, they would push rocks up in front of doors of sepulchers and graves and so forth. So these rocks are laying open now. These graves are open, but, you know, nothing going on inside until the third day. When Jesus is resurrected, bodies got up and walked out of those graves, went on into the city and said, hey, hey, hey. And the people recognized them because they were people who just hadn't been dead too long. You see, and it says they went into the city, into the holy city, and appeared to many. So God used this earthquake at Jesus' death to as a divine sign about his son, but also to open up these graves so that they too could attest to the fact that Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead. Okay. So, I mean, that's a powerful thing. Now, this is the same earthquake from the verse before. This would be the same earthquake that happened here, okay? But not only that, there was a second God sign again in Matthew 28, verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For why was there a great earthquake? Because. For. This is why there was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone and from the door and sat on it. Now we know him rolling back the stone and sitting on it didn't cause the earthquake. It was that fact that the angel descended from heaven. Now, from this scripture, we can say, it appears that there can be earthquakes caused by angelic activity. Right? According to this scripture. That there can be earthquakes caused by angelic activity. We wouldn't happen to know that unless there was revelation given to us. As in this case, apparently there was divine revelation given to Matthew because he penned this. Not only was this divine revelation given to Matthew, but it was also given to Luke, Dr. Luke, in Acts chapter 16. Originally had up here answered prayer, question mark, God's will, question mark, because you'll remember in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are in this prison. And at midnight, they're praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now, oh, how we would love to have a formula. Oh, if we would just love if God made this a formula, because we would work this thing. The moment we got into a situation, come on, let's pray and let's sing. Oh, hallelujah. Hey, hey. Next thing you know, and we would just milk it. I mean, we would just, yeah, I did that one. I was there. We did that one. That's the way we would be, right? But this is, God doesn't do that. And it says here, suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Okay? That which isn't supposed to move began to move. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. Now, this was a divinely caused, perhaps an answer to prayer, earthquake. We don't know what they were praying about, but I would imagine if you were locked up, you'd be praying somewhere along the line, Lord, would you help us get out of here? I mean, or help us, how about this? Help us to honor you while we're locked up in here. Help us not to give up our faith. Help us not to, oh my goodness. I mean, I know where Americans' prayers would be, but which would be, get me out of here, Jesus. But I know some other people who would be, Lord, I want to honor you. Remember when there were others who were beaten for his name, and when they got loose, it said they expressed joy for having suffered for the name of Jesus. They were glad because they got to suffer for his name. I don't know if we're there yet, saints. And that's all right. But now, this passage of Scripture also points to angelic activity, okay, with the earthquake. Why? Well, the foundations were shaken by this earthquake, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains loose. Earthquakes do not, they do open some doors, but they don't bust chains off of you. You remember Acts chapter 12, when Peter was locked up by Herod? They had killed James. They're going to kill Peter. The Bible says an angel, while the church was praying, walked into the prison, hit Peter on the leg, get up. Peter wakes up. When he wakes up, the chains falls off his hands. That's angelic activity right here. Not only that, when they walked out of the prison, all the doors were locked. Peter was chained between four squads of soldiers. When they walked out of the prison, the Bible says the door opened of its own accord. I mean, the doors that were locked and bolted and all this, they just opened right up. What was that? That was the angel. See, because the angel can take you, I don't care where you are, the angel can take you out. See, and so God brought about this earthquake, and it not only freed Paul and Silas, this is what I call this, the earthquake of liberation. It freed all the prisoners. Notice, it didn't hurt any of the prisoners. It freed them. It was an earthquake God sent to bring liberation to the people who were bound. Not only that, when we read the whole of the story in context, God did all this that he might save the Philippian jailer, right, and his entire household got saved. When they heard the gospel preached, they were saved. So we see that God does bring about or cause earthquakes for his own purpose, that Christ might be glorified. All right, I think. And then, of course, this is the last one. This is where when we look at the earthquakes here, Jesus said that there would be, when they were outside the temple and they were asking, when is the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus said, beware that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ. He says, don't believe them, don't go. And then he begins to give some things that are going to be happening around his return, the end of the age, and so forth. And he says, for nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. And I just put this up here because the scholars commentaries that I read all pointed to the fact that this word earthquakes means political upheaval and commotions. Poetically speaking, or prophetically, that's what it means. The problem that I have with it, that everything else in there, they receive literally. In other words, Agabus prophesied of a famine. Remember that. Okay, there were pestilences, and kings did rise against kingdom and so forth, but when it came to earthquakes, they were talking about that this is political upheaval and so forth. Well, we're going to see, because they took the same approach when you go into the book of Revelation. Remember, John saw Revelation 16. He says, I looked, and when he had opened the sixth seal, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And there are other scriptures in the book of Revelation that talks about earthquakes, but they interpret it that it's figuratively speaking, that it will just be upheaval in the earth. Let me say this. Man has all of his charts, and I'm talking about Christians. We have all of our charts. When the rapture is going to happen, Jesus is going to come get us, and we're not going to be part of the tribulation, and there's a post-trib, which is after pre-trib, there's a mid-trib. Listen, Jesus is going to do it the way he's going to do it, and then everyone's going to find out how it's going to work. So I'm like, shut up all that nonsense. Live and love Jesus. Live for Jesus. Love him. Doesn't matter what's coming. When it comes, you're going to be ready. And so we don't have to say, well, this is figurative, this isn't figurative, and so forth. What's good to know is that we know the owner of this whole thing. God, who created all things, is our Father, and that He's able to keep us no matter what we go through, be it earthquake, storm, famine, pestilence, no matter what it is. And so God will carry us through. Amen? I think that's what I want to say in this whole thing about the Bible and earthquakes is God's going to see us through. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you, O God, for your mercies that are new every morning. And Father, we pray, Lord, for our brethren in Japan. Lord, we ask that your mercies would be overwhelming for them. Father, we pray that you would indeed give the Japanese government and all the nations who are going to be involved in this effort to rescue people and help. Lord, we ask for your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding be given to them. We pray that those unstable nuclear reactors, oh God, Father, they would be able to stabilize them, they would be able to cool them, oh God, that they would not, Lord, take more lives, oh God. Father, we pray for your peace and your comfort. Lord, for all those involved, for those who are still trapped, for those who have lost loved ones. Father, we pray, oh God, that this entire region, oh God, that the heart of the nation would be opened up to the gospel, that the heart of the nation would be opened up, Lord, to receive the compassion and the love of Christ. And so we pray, oh God, Lord, for all those, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to be faithful to pray, to be faithful to do what we can do, oh God, as we would want them to do all they could do if we were in that hour of need. And so we ask, Lord, for your great mercies and your blessings. And we thank you, Lord, that we'll see them, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.